Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from our gospel lesson. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For the past few Sundays, our gospel lessons have been from portions of Matthew chapter 10, and today we have the final verses in that chapter. In this chapter, we have Jesus' instructions to his disciples before he sends them out to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, early in the chapter, the words of Jesus seem directly focused on the disciples themselves. But the last verses of the chapter, including our reading today, those words seem to be more generally applied, not just to those disciples that Jesus is sending out, but can be applied to disciples of all ages, disciples of all times and places, to all pastors, to all Christians. So, last Sunday, if you remember, we heard those sobering words of Jesus, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And today, our opening verses seem to continue this kind of sobering, harsh tone. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come to bring peace, not peace, but a sword. These words, as we hear them, are rather harsh again. They don't seem to give us much comfort. And it seems that this goes against what Scripture teaches about the coming of the Savior. We proclaim Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the one to give peace to this world, peace to individuals. And even earlier in the chapter, part of Jesus' instructions to those disciples was to bring peace to the households that they would visit. So there seems to be a bit of conflict here. And the conflict goes beyond just what is Jesus saying to our own lives when we think about the conflicts that we see all about us. This doesn't seem to be the word that we need to hear today. This world is anything but peaceful. And now to hear more about the sword and conflict. We look around us and we see conflict and sorrow and strife all around us. And it's not just in words, but now there are acts of violence and destruction. And this is not in some far distant land, but it's places that we've been. Very unsettling. It's all too close to home. And yet we are confronted with these words of Jesus today. He brings a sword. Doesn't sound like anything that we want to hear today. But when we think about Jesus as that Prince of Peace, we have to remember that the Prince of Peace comes to save his people from sin. And when he saves people from sin, he grants them peace. And this peace is not just saying, oh, let's just kind of forget our differences so that we all get along. Jesus comes wielding this sword. And it's because of the nature of the sinful heart and the nature of Christ's message that he wields this sword. He calls for repentance. He calls for repentance in those words that we hear earlier from him. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The inevitable result of the preaching of this message of repentance is conflict and strife because of sin. And as our text points out, this conflict hits close to home. This message of Christ, this message of repentance, divides families. That relationship which God has established, which God designed to be a source of strength and comfort for individuals, the family, is struck with that sword and divided. And we know that a divided house is not strong. For this sword, this message of repentance, is rejected by some within the family. So you have faithful parents and children who reject the faith, and vice versa. Faithful children and parents rejecting the faith. How destructive this is. How many families have been affected by conflict stemming from the rejection of Christ and this message of salvation? And even as terrible as that is, the sword of the Word of God cuts even deeper. As we hear in Hebrews, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is the sword of the word of God that cuts to the very core of our being and exposes the depth of sin. Sin goes much deeper than just the words of our mouths or the actions of our hands and feet. It is the very word that exposes the corruption of our very nature. The result of the word, the sword of the Spirit working in us, is that it opens to the light of day the depth of our sinful condition and produces, yes, it produces strife and sorrow in our own being. While all people, and I would say that all people, regardless of faith, of beliefs, recognize this strife, this conflict, but it is only the word of Christ which names the source of this pain and suffering: sin. It is this recognition worked by the Spirit that moves us to confess, as we did moments ago, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. As we speak those words week after week, it's important for us to remember who those words are addressed to. Although our sinful actions, our sinful words, are taken out against people in our families and people we come into contact with. We are primarily offending God, our Heavenly Father, by our actions, by our words, by the sinful attitude of our hearts. And so it is to Him that we address those words of confession. And in those words, the sword of the Word of God is at work. That same sword was at work in the life of St. Paul. It produced strife and stress in his life. We can hear that in Romans chapter 7, especially in these words, which will be heard next week, because these words are taken from the epistle for next Sunday. And these familiar words from chapter 7, "For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." You can hear the stress, the angst in St. Paul's words here. And he continues, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" These words of St. Paul. Are worked in him through the Spirit of God, through Jesus' words. And notice how similar they are to the words that we speak every Sunday, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." So then, are we left with nothing but despair? The world thrashes around vainly, looking for relief from its anguish over the wretchedness of humanity. It ignores the basic truth of God's word when it comes to humanity's sinfulness and attempts to ferret out the guilty, looking in all the wrong places, only causing more strife, more sorrow, and heavier burdens. And it's in its despair, in its ignorance, it ignores God's answer to man's sinfulness. And that answer is simply the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen to his words in our text. "The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward." At first, it's kind of confusing listening to that verse. But who is the prophet that Jesus is speaking about? The prophet is the disciple. The disciple whom Jesus is about to send to the lost sheep of Israel. Now today we would see the prophet as a pastor, and all Christians who speak the words of Jesus. And so those who receive a prophet, those who listen to the words of the prophet, are listening to the words of Jesus. And as they listen to the words of Jesus, they are receiving Jesus. For where his word is, there he is. And where Jesus is, there is life and salvation. Jesus' word brings life in the midst of strife, pain, and sorrow. For his words bring us the very promise of salvation through his own suffering, death, and resurrection. And so what follows confession of sins? We know, don't we? It's absolution. Jesus' words of forgiveness. And so the pastor speaks those words. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is your reward. Receiving Jesus. Receiving the one who sent him. And your reward is God's grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. And this is the message of the church, to proclaim this life in the name of Jesus to all people. The message of life comes to you in the very words of the Savior that are spoken here every Sunday morning. It comes through the word spoken with the water of the font to grant forgiveness. It comes through the very body and blood of Christ in the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And it is through these words that peace is given. True peace. The peace that passes all understanding. And may God grant you this peace. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.